now listening to Triples in Ecstasy, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
This is Admiral James T. Kirk of Federation Starship Enterprise. Your presence here is an act of war. You have 2 minutes to surrender your crew and your vessel, or we will destroy you.
Admiral Kirk, this is your opponent speaking. Do not lecture me on treaty violations, as this broadcast is intended for mature audiences. In the following podcast, there will be thoughts and opinions expressed that in no way reflect your Federation, this station, website, or affiliated partners.
Who is this? How dare you?
Who I am is not important. Listener discretion is.
You Klingon bastard.
Space. The final frontier. These are the voyages of Starship Tribbles. Her ongoing mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new content and new stuff, to boldly go where no podcast has gone before.
Hello and welcome to Tribbles in Ecstasy, take 144. I'm your host, Ben Nightshadow, and with me today is Woody.
G'day, everyone.
Black Magnum.
All right. What's up, everybody?
And Dr. Trekkie.
Hello, everyone.
So, today, Star Trek Online, we've got some intrepid news to talk about.
I like how you said intrepid news.
I thought you might.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay, I saw what you... I'm picking up what you're putting down. I like that.
So we have the first Starship Tier 6, which is actually from the show. So,
and what show might that be?
Oh, I think that might be Voyager.
Voyager, that's correct. Yeah, I looked at these starships. They look really cool. The different types of classes you can, you know, mix and match and swap things out to give it the design that you want. Looks pretty neat.
I've actually gone with the classic Intrepid Voyager look myself.
I would probably do that as well.
Was a bit of a toss-up between the new Pathfinder look, as they've called it. It's just like, no, I'm going to go with the classic.
What are some of the goodies that come with it?
Well, the one that I did like is you've got the Aero Shuttle, which we didn't actually get to see in the show. It's got an extra science slot, and apart from that, I haven't had much chance to look what other differences are between the things. I don't tend to fly, because my main character's an engineer. I haven't tended to go with many of the science ships, because I had originally got the long-range science vessel, the Voyager ones, but never did end up flying them at all.
right.
But, yeah, I thought, now I'm going to... Because I've maxed out the mastering of my Galaxy X. So it's just okay, I've hit all 4 tiers on that. So I thought, okay, I might as well do a tier 6 ship. And, yeah, I saw this one. I thought, yeah, I'll get that one.
You know, so, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, it still looks like that there's just going to be no carrier for a while for these tier 6 ships. Is there, there's a shuttle on this guy, but I was wondering, do you think that's ever going to come out or going to
Wait till Christmas.
Christmas? I can't wait.
That's all I can always say is wait till Christmas. So don't discount it.
I just, I,
I mean, you guys are really that excited about this Voyager ship? I mean, we have sort of an outdated one that is not obviously not
Tier 6, well, yeah, right? We have a 32-year-old ship, and then we also have the updated versions. But what I like about it is that you can mix and match. If you want to look like the classic, you can still do that. However, it's an upgraded ship. It's Tier 6.
But it's really the only cool goodie, this Aero Shuttle. Because like the other
I'll be honest with you, the Intrepid class ship, I feel in my opinion, is a well-rounded science vessel.
Oh, and for science vessels, sure. Because yeah. Most of them are butt ugly, number one.
Right. No. You know, I didn't want to fly the Dunkin' Donuts one.
But yeah, this one comes with 2 tactical, 3 engineering, and 5 science bridge officer slots. So thing is what I tend to do is for a lot of my slots, I end up using Universal Console anyway.
So those are the best.
It doesn't tend to make that much of a difference, to be honest. So, thing is, I went from for ages before the loadouts came out. I just was with my Defiant, my Fleet Defiant. And I stayed with that because I really couldn't be arsed messing around with swapping everything out. It was always such a palaver, but of course the loadouts came, so I thought, right, I'm going to start sourcing out some other ships. So I've slowly been building up, getting consoles and everything else that I want. And of course I've gone and sort of been getting all those bits that I mainly use upgraded and that as well. And so it's a long process indeed. Of course, the main thing that I've noticed between this and the Galaxy X, of course, is you've got one less weapon fore and aft, haven't got as many device slots. I'll be interested to see how it sort of fares when I start to actually use it.
Well, I think the difference is it has one less slot for the weapons. However, it would be the exotic damage that would compensate, so it may not be a bad thing.
Yeah. So, I had a look at the mastery package. The ablative field projector that you get at tier 5 on there, that looked sort of interesting.
Well, ship? Oh no, you go ahead.
I was just gonna brag a little bit.
Okay, then I'll go ahead.
Then go ahead, man.
No, I was just gonna ask, does ablative shielding make it look like it did in Voyager?
I don't know. There is an ablative shield generator that you get when you get the standard tier 5 Voyager ship. So whether or not you have to have that in order to enable it. So I'm just gonna get back from the sea store the 2 other Voyager class ships, Intrepid ships, and to get the consoles, because you do now, they're part of a set, you see. So I was going to see what they marry up to and what you get with those, to have a look at them. And then the thing is, it's going to be a little while before I hit tier 5 on the mastery side. But I thought it'd be difference. So I've sort of kitted this one out with sort of some bridge officers, so I've got some new ones of those, and sort of kitted them out with some gravity wells and Typhon rifts and bits like that, because they don't tend to play with a sony ship, so I thought it's about time that I get one so I can do some crowd control.
Well, I've been trying to find which science tier 6 ship I want to use to get my 4th mastery slot. I already have 3 of them maxed out. I have attack ship, I have the intelligence cruiser, and then I have my guardian cruiser. So I need one more ship to get the, you know, at least 4 tier 6 tier 5 masteries. So I was sort of maybe leaning towards the Intrepid class for the ablative, because that
I thought you were defense. One of the people that wanted the Dauntless. You didn't get the Dauntless?
I have the Dauntless, but I haven't flown it yet. And I'm weighing the option between the Dauntless or now the new Intrepid. Because I really am not interested in a Krispy Kreme donut ship. You know, that the science intelligence is, yeah, our puppies are cute, okay? Puppies are cute. But hey, yeah, I wasn't, I had the privilege of, now that, you know, everything is passed, I have had the privilege of beta testing it before. I just couldn't say anything because I was under NDA. So I just wasn't pleased with the science ship, the intelligence one. So now with the, a lot of people really liking the Dauntless, but it looks like a little tiny piece of pizza, right? It's a very small ship. Yeah. But now you have the Intrepid class, and I'm like, that's iconic. I lean towards the iconic things, and I sort of want to give that a go and get the tier 5 mastery of it.
Yeah, I wish the Intelligence Cruiser had a version that was like the Voyager, like the Intrepid class, because I'm kind of over my Intelligence Cruiser. I've mastered it. I'm tier 6, and I'm just like, eh. I don't love that ship, but you know, it's what I have.
Right.
Live with it, but I want more cruiser choices soon.
I do love my Guardian cruiser as an engineering captain. I love that ship, so I think that replaced my fleet assault cruiser. So
yeah, I just looked up the ablative field projector, which is the trait. Doesn't give you the look. It literally it just gives you a temporary hit point increase on your bridge officer abilities for the target that you currently got, which will can stack up to 3 times. So it looks like you'll still have to get the ablative armor generator, or whatever they've called it, from the tier 5 ship. So as I said, the bits from the previous packs, they actually call a set. You got a 2-piece set and a 3-piece set. So a 2-piece set bonus will give you advanced field stabilizers. So that's extra max shield HP and shield healing. And for the 3-piece set, you get aero shuttle weapon upgrade. So it equips the aero shuttle with a photonic shockwave torpedo. So
speaking of sets, have any of you guys gotten far in the Delta Alliance reputation and gotten the space set?
I haven't got any of the sets.
A few of us have the bioneural stuff, I think, but no sets yet.
I've got the gel pack.
I haven't actually bothered
to equip it because basically it hasn't been working.
Oh, it hasn't been working? I've been using it this long and it hasn't been working?
I've been using it.
I've been seeing lots of reports on the forums and them saying that it is something they're looking into. And I think it was actually in the patch notes at one point saying that it's still not working.
I've had that equipped for like weeks.
Yeah, I'm sitting there flying around thinking I'm Uber. And here I am putting in extra work because the gel pack's not working.
It's so hard for me like to tell if stuff is working or not because the stats, like, it's just there's such a lag on them, or they don't change when you like are not in battle, and it's really weird for me. I never can tell, so I would never have known if it was working or not. I just assumed it was.
Well, because of those reports, I hadn't bothered with it.
Just going to say, on the most recent release notes, the known issues do not list the gel pack.
Okay, cool. So hopefully that's them being correct.
Did the known issues release the stupid bug that's in the Borg red alert? I am so sick of that bug lately. I keep trying to go in there because I'm like almost done with my Omega reputation. And every time I go in there, the last ship doesn't show up. The V'ger ship doesn't show up. It's getting so frustrating.
Yeah, I've known that issue. So you know, with me doing Borg space invasions,
yeah,
I have that problem too. Where I mostly get it in the better Eurosay.
You're right. I've gotten in there. I don't know.
All the rest is reasonably fine, but sometimes I find that not all those motherships have all their healing. Little probes with them. There's usually might have none, no probes, or just one probe, not the usual 3 or 4. So it's been cheap there in some ways.
That's been annoying.
I understand that sort of problem. It's just, I must admit, there is a whole list of bugs out there, like the one that really want to keen on getting fixed is the trays especially
ship trays. Oh, that's so annoying.
Yeah, I've done some changes to my with what my boss have got and stuff like that, and at the moment I'm flying around without the changes on them because every time I put them on it disappears on me, so just going around without it at the moment. So.
Yeah, the latest thing that happened to me is that I keep all my active space duty doffs just disappear, and I have to keep reloading them. And I don't know what's up with that. So it just feels like things are a little buggy, and it's surprising because they've been off pretty frequently for maintenance.
Yeah. Well, I know with the tray problems and stuff like that, it always breaks every time there's like a code branch upgrade or, you know, some sort of major upgrade come to the game, to Star Trek Online, and always seem to just do a quick fix to fix it. But I think this time around, instead of doing the quick fix, they're going in and giving it a good clean out to fix it once and for all. So that's why it's been so long to get that fixed. But yeah, it's annoying, but you're just going to have to be patient with it.
Oh, I guess I'll be patient.
That's what I keep telling everyone on Garrett Casman, who keeps complaining about it.
I'll be fine. It's just interesting. I mean, I want to finish this. I'm almost done with the Delta Alliance reputation, and I'm interested in this space set because most of the stuff I got in my little boxes when I put in that 20-hour, you know, that to get marks, I keep getting that that Thoron-infused Polaron weapon. So now I have like enough for the whole ship, and I'm like, oh, I might as well try to get this set and get away from my anti-protons. But I'm wondering how good this set is.
Well, when we were testing on Tribble, I used the set from Delta 1. And yeah, it did well when I was testing. I didn't check and have a look at the stats, but yeah, I survived nicely with it. So it doesn't seem to be a bad one, although for me, I tend to, for the stuff that I'm doing for my Intrepid at the moment, I've got the two of the assimilated let's see, deflector and
engines. That's what I usually run.
I think it's the Omega for the shield because that's got the higher shield. So that way you've got the regeneration of the shield extra bonus.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, I'll just keep running with that, which is what I had with the cruiser.
I just want something a little different. Yeah, I usually run with that Borg set. But it's the old one, so I have been upgrading it. But I'm kind of interested in these Polaron beam stuff. I don't know. I might get the Ornate set. I don't know if I'm going to do all the stuff to get the Assault set. That seems crazy. And I'm almost... Is everyone up to 60? I have, like, just a little bit left.
I'm level 60.
You've been 60 since, like, the first week.
I was like level 60 like day two or something.
Yeah, no, I just have.
Yeah,
I've
been level 60 for about 2-3 weeks.
So you guys are all done with the story then? I mean, what did you think? Were you happy with how it ended? I just ended it like a few days ago. So it's fresh for me.
I haven't played the last three missions yet, including the new one.
I haven't gotten to the new one yet either.
No, but see, I've with my four characters, three of them are level 59 and one of them 60. And the one that's level 60 is my youngest character that I play with, the Maya Riemann. And he's mostly been gone through. He's only just going to be starting the 2800, that 2800 series when they had second invasion of the Dominion. So, I haven't even touched the Delta Rising new content except for the Borg Disconnected PvEQ mission. So, in some ways, it probably is in a good position because, you know, you could keep going leveling up in hindsight to get the specialization tokens. So,
I've got
plenty there to do to
everyone knows. I was really interested in the story, and you know, no spoilers, I guess, but most people have gone through it. It started really good. I thought it started strong, and it started ended kind of weak.
But I'm interested in this extra episode. I haven't played it yet, the Left Behind one. So hopefully that's cool.
I liked where it ended. It sort of left it open to stories that are going to be coming.
I hope so. But like that, the whole sort of like strategic stuff at the end with the big invasion, I kind of liked it, but it seemed really easy. Like, oh, I'd send this group because it has this specialization. Wow, that's not really a shocker. I don't know. I was hoping for a bigger payoff and
it's a little bit different. You're getting more choice of how you play the game and what people you send in. The little cutscenes of them flying in got a bit annoying.
Oh, that was funny. I love
and
that.
The warping is just like, especially as with my crappy graphics, I couldn't see him until literally they'd passed my ship. And it's just like, yeah, just let me play.
But it's now that I've gone through all that, I have to say, I thought the voice talent was just excellent. They all did such a good job. I know I read a lot of blogs and a lot of things here, people sort of assessing who did better than who. But they were all really excellent and just jumped right back in to their characters. And
I think was different.
Are you going to say the doctor?
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone has said that. I mean, he definitely sounds a little older. But I think he got really into it, especially at the end when he became the command hologram, emergency command hologram.
Yeah, that made me laugh.
I thought that was good.
But no, it was just his character. He was always so enthused about things. He talked really so fast. But now, because in sort of real life, he's so much older. He does talk slower.
Yeah,
and that came across and. It's just something that I noticed. I didn't think it was bad, because I think even though he's a hologram and he doesn't show that he ages, it probably would have been something he would have learnt and just sort of calmed down a bit, sort of thing. So I didn't see it as not being the character at all, which I know there's a lot of people sort of in the forums going, oh, he was really bad. And it's just like, well, no, he wasn't.
Who do you guys like the best? I mean, I think Tim Russ he's always good. He was pretty amazing through this as well. But I think I have to say I liked Jeri Ryan. I thought she did really good with Seven.
Yeah, it's a mix-up between Jeri and Harry Kim.
Ooh.
Garrett, actually.
You did good. They all did great.
Is it too soon if I were to give a spoiler about Harry Kim and what we found out?
I don't think so.
I mean, the fact that he's been murdered.
Yeah, well, no. Harry Kim is not even... The Captain Kim is not the Harry Kim that we know. He's still a freaking ensign.
So what that... I interpreted that in a different way, potentially. To me, like... So one of the dead bodies is...
The real Harry Kim. I took it as the real Harry Kim.
No, but what if it's the one that split off in the Voyager series? Remember when they split and Harry Kim was the only one that survived? Maybe somehow the other Harry Kim that died got taken. Like, it made no sense to me. Like, how did they get that body?
Yeah, but remember when that woman said something like, I'll take care of you, Harry, or whatever?
Right, but his uniform was the old Voyager uniform.
Right, to me, that was the original Harry Kim. And the Captain Kim that we know is not the real Harry Kim.
Right, but then the switch would have had to take in when they were in the Delta Quadrant originally. And
right.
The only time I feel like... And remember, it's a dead body, potentially. Well, no, it could be alive. You're right. When would that have happened? Other than when he split in half and like when the ship split in half and there was two copies of everyone. I don't know. It was weird. It felt like a dangling thing.
I don't think it
obviously came from when they dealt with the Vodwar.
Well, no, I was thinking more of when the character Lindsay came back, because the ship that came after her got scans of the crew. So I'm wondering if they started using scans or DNA from that visit.
Oh, like to clone them?
Yeah. Because if you think of what they do to the bodies to make them into their people,
right?
That making it look or become more human wouldn't be much more of an engineering feat for them to actually accomplish.
Maybe, but why would he have the uniform?
That might be what they had scans of at the time when they started working on something. I don't know. Maybe after their encounter with Voyager, they wanted to make sure that if sort of the Lindsay woman went off again, I think it was Lindsay, wasn't it? If she went off again, that they could try and get her back by using this clone or something. I don't know.
Well, it's clear it caused a stir, so I hope they pick it up. Because it was interesting. Like, I thought they were going to somehow refer to that back in, or back to it at the end of this, but they didn't. They just left it hanging. So I hope they pick it up again.
The reason why I thought it was the original Harry Kim is because 7 years in the Delta Quadrant, he's still an ensign, and this Harry Kim is an ensign. That made a lot of sense to me. I don't know.
What do you mean that made a lot? That just means that either he was a clone or something.
No,
copy.
It was the original Harry Kim, and then the clone became a captain.
But you're telling me the original would never have achieved.
That's what I'm saying. Yes, captain. That's exactly what I'm saying.
The only way he.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Is for it to be replaced by a duplicate.
That is exactly what I'm saying.
You have no faith in Harry Kim.
I have no faith in Harry Kim. Come on, dude ran away from a Klingon woman. Who would run away from that? Come on now.
Okay, so yeah, I'm interested where that goes. But yeah, his acting, Garrett Wang's acting was pretty good.
You've got to see the extra bonus episode because yeah, that wraps up other storylines and introduces new ones, and yeah, you've really got to play that one.
I'm very close, so good.
Your job for this weekend. but the one thing, going back to what we'd originally been talking about, which was the Intrepid ship, is the interiors. So I got the pack where you get the standard and the Season 7 Voyager interiors. Although since switching starships, I haven't actually gone in there. But
can you buy the ship separately?
Yes.
Okay. Yesterday, I had one of the guys a little bit upset that he never got the bridges and stuff like that. He had to pay extra for the bridges, but I think I understand now what he did. He bought the ship, not the ship pack. So.
Well, the description does say in yellow that is the ship only, and then on the other one, it says that it comes with both interiors. So if he actually read the description, it does actually specify in there.
Yeah, probably obviously didn't do it. He probably got excited a bit there, thinking, oh, gonna buy this.
Also, one thing I did notice is there are packs that come with the old ships as well. So you've got the refit and the retrofits. So that's the Tier 4 and the Tier 5 ship. Now, if you've already purchased them, don't expect to see the pack in there. Because it's a bit like they've done with the Legacy of Romulus packs and the Solanae packs and that as well. That if you've got part of a pack, that it won't let you buy the bigger one. So, because I had a look to see if it was available to me and it wasn't. So,
yeah. I'm looking at the Tier 6 ships right now. The only Intrepid that I have is the Intrepid pack that has the ships, the bridge, and the interior designs.
That's the one that I got.
Yeah, that's the one I have.
So yeah, if you're looking for something and it's not there, it's more than likely because you've already purchased part of it.
Interior's nice, I have to say, but boy, I really hate the color of Janeway's furniture. It always really bugged me.
Yeah, but when are you really going to use the interior?
I'm looking right at it. That's why I wouldn't even buy it, but
I go to my ship interior every single day.
Really? What do you do there?
What do you do there other than roleplay?
No, I go to my ready room and do.
Do you read reports from the bridge? I mean, from your officers.
You can get some. Nice,
do you ever go down to deck 15 and talk to the cadets down there?
No, I just use the bridge officer console or the duty officer console.
But that doesn't give you anything more than what the menu system would give you.
You actually get all your different sort of science, medical, tactical, you get a lot more options on your duty officer missions, and you can get some really nice high XP ones.
I didn't think that was, like, because you could get the officer, you can get your bridge officer missions.
Yeah, if you run around the ship and can't see them all, but there's actually a console in your ready room where you don't have to run around your ship.
Right, but how is that different from when I just use it on my menu, when I click the duty officer tab and then I look at, and I go to bridge officers?
That only gives you current map and personal, but you do have duty officer missions from each of your bridge officers.
No, but I can get those from the menu as well, because I can do current, I can do the current map, the personal ones, and then I could just select a bridge officer and it will just show me all their stuff from the menu. Doesn't everyone do this? I thought that's what, I mean, I do that every day. I mean,
I've always gone to my bridge for that.
No, you could just do it from the menu system. The only thing I know that happens on the ship is every once in a while I'll see on the chat channels that someone will, like, do you want an invite to my ship to get a special board duty officer? And I'll have to, like, run in their ship and go to their engineering section or something and do something weird. And then there's all that stuff where you, if you, like, talk to your engineer, you can get them to build the stupid console stuff, which doesn't really matter anymore,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, that's to do in with the map that they're in.
Yeah.
Because you get different assignments for different maps, which you get... Well, they say that it's random, but it's not. It's basically on a timer.
Right, right.
And you can get invites, so you can tell, if you know, like, you've got the chains.
So yeah, yeah.
You can go and talk to the contacts because they're actually in that location. So that's why people send those invites.
But so that's the only thing I know about that happens within the interior of the ship that's different from what I can see from just the menu system.
Okay, well, I've never used the menu system. So
really?
Which menu is it? It's so easy and convenient.
So if you just, like, I wish I had the game open, but, you know, you go on your main menu and you just see the little duty officer tab, and instead of, it will say, like, bridge officer, like, it says current, personal, or, like, current map, personal, and then you could go to bridge officers and just choose one of them, like science or engineering, and then all those missions will come up. Don't you guys... I feel like I'm in some crazy mirror universe. I thought that's what everyone did, because I've been spending way too much time with duty officers, and I almost have everything up to tier 4 of everything. But I just use it there. It just saves so much time and going to the interior of the ship, which is, I agree with Black Magnum. I don't really need to. It's pretty, but I don't do it.
Exactly.
But yeah, no, I've never... I don't even remember seeing that, to be honest.
Huh.
Just loading up some screenshots. So yeah, you've got current map, personal, in progress, completed, assignment log, assignment chains, and plan assignment. I see along the top, duty officers.
Yeah.
Okay, I'd never actually noticed that tab there.
It's funny what your brain does. Yes.
Yeah, well, there's lots of things that the amount of times you say, oh, did you not know you could do that? But yeah, that one I hadn't noticed myself. Interesting. Okay. So from now on, I won't be going to my bridges off. that's good to know. But yeah, I haven't actually played with my new Intrepid just yet. Have you had a chance to, Black Magnum?
I'm sorry, had a chance to do what?
Have you actually had a chance to play with the new Intrepid?
I'm sorry. I'm sitting here in Club 47 dancing, so I can't quite hear you all that well.
This is a sad segue to one of our next stories.
I sit here, I'm cutting a rug.
Wasn't he like this last week?
Maybe.
Maybe.
One thing I've got to ask about is with that newer Intrepid, does it have the folding warp nacelles? Like that?
Yes.
Okay.
That's one of the things I didn't like about it. One of the things I didn't quite like about the design is I think they go too far down. It looks too much like a Klingon warship as it goes too far down. Because on the normal, the Intrepid, it goes so it's just level. but I think they just go down too far. That's just me. But there are some other Federation ships that have the nacelles that low anyway, I suppose. But
I never liked that design, honestly, of Voyager. I mean, I understand it's something to do with the landing, but it just seemed like just one more thing that could potentially break on the ship that I didn't understand the purpose of it.
There are only ever two ships that I really like the design of. One was always the Intrepid, and the second one was the one that looks like a pizza. I forgot what it's called now.
The Dauntless.
Dauntless.
Yeah, the little
You're
pizza.
You're the one that called the flyer.
I call it
the little slice of pizza.
The little slice of pizza. Yeah.
But yeah, those two, they were always the one that I liked. The Dauntless is the next ship that I want to be able to get. So, go get the other ones done and save up to get it. And then I'll have to work on getting the other tier 6 ships so I can try and get the mastery skills. But, I think that's sort of covered everything on our Intrepid discussion. So, next, Club 47.
Black Magnum is currently in Club 47.
You party animal.
And I am partying with some of my fleet mates, some of my friends. We're dancing around, enjoying the new Club 47. Actually, I like what they did, though, because you could go out to the windows and you can see out in space. You can see the ships, it's actually large in there. It's pretty big. It's really good.
Where did you put it? I haven't gone there yet.
When you get transported in, you look right, and you know you went up, and there's just a small seating area with a DJ standing there.
Oh, okay.
Well, now that opens up into the new Club 47.
Interesting.
So, it looks so nice in there, and you've got semicircle areas that you can sit down in on one side. You've got bars. You've got dance floors. So, yeah, I really, really like it. Haven't spent much time in there yet, but, yeah, I went to have a look and get my new club outfits that you can get.
You definitely want to go to the GPL vendor and get your shuffle dance and get your new Club 47 outfit. You can get that free. So it goes to what, the 24th? So you want to make sure you get that done quickly.
Yeah, because you've only got a couple of days.
It's free at the moment until Monday, unusual time, then it goes up to like 250,000 gold press platinum.
Have they actually specified the amount? Because I haven't seen that.
Oh, that's what I heard. But it's going to cost you gold press platinum to get it.
Yeah, it just seems a bit steep, 250,000.
That's a lot of money.
Might be 25,000, but who knows? but it probably will cost you.
But no, it's nice to have it back, and I do like the new Tron outfits. Haven't actually worn any yet, but I'm interested to see what sort of designs come up with. Have you donned your new costume?
Yeah, I don't mind it terribly much. You know, I wouldn't exactly wear it out and about type of thing, even though I think it's actually bit like the Riser swimsuit where you can only wear it on the space dock, stuff like that. I can't get it on the Klingon, but I can't exactly wear it on my Klingon because I'm not at a space dock with it.
I think if you go to Jizana, you can wear it on Jizana.
But I've heard quite a lot of people say looks a bit too much like you from Tron in some ways, just with the color arrangements and stuff like that.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter what comes out in sci-fi, someone's always going to notice something that looks like something that came out before. It's the same with stories. Every story's been told at least once in, but it's just how it's delivered in a slightly different new way that attracts people back to the same sort of storylines, really. So nothing's ever really new. It's always got some sort of resemblance of something that had come before. But no, I think the new Club 47 looks really, really good. So looking forward to having some parties.
Yeah, it's fun. Because you can see inside the starbase where the ships come into the starbase and park. You can also go to the other section where you can see out into space, where you can see the planet and, you know, the stars that way too. So they did a very good job in designing this.
Yeah, you can see why they didn't want to release a half-finished version.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that they finally got around to sort of releasing that area of it. But, yeah.
So currently Black Magnum is enjoying some house music with some of his fleet mates and friends at Club 47, Earth Space Dock.
So now we just need to try and figure out a way to allow them to have their own sort of radio shows or something to...
Yeah.
That'd be good. Be able to put your own music in. They've got a little music player.
Yeah, anyway. They got music playing and everything. I can hear it while I'm out here on the dance floor.
But no, I just mean in the game, you've got your own media player.
Oh, yeah. True.
And it would be nice if you could maybe play some music through your media player, and then anybody that you're teamed up with could maybe hear it or something.
Right.
That'd be quite cool. Although it'd be a very small party. But, yeah. So, well, apart from the ship in Club 47, there's not really been much out because people are still playing all the sort of new content for the most part and upgrading. So,
yes.
We do have...
Probably just remind everyone, next weekend is the Mark's bonus weekend too. So yeah. Just let everyone know about that so they can get themselves perfect. Ready to get some fleet marks and all that.
Perfect time. Right after I finish all my reputations.
Yeah, Thursday 27th to Monday 1st. We're going to have bonus marks. And then starting on December 4th, we have the winter event starting.
I'm just saying, I could be wrong, but those who are craving a Tier 6 cruiser, or not cruiser, but what were you asking for?
Carrier, right?
Carrier. If you're requesting a Tier 6 carrier, you may get that during the winter event. I'm just throwing that out there.
Maybe. Just
throwing it out there.
They've been giving Breen ships, so they might have bring out a new Breen ship. So.
Was it last year one of the Solene destroyers or some crap? Because I still have it in my reputation system. I never finished it.
If first was the, I can't remember the exact title, but it was the Breen cruiser. Last Christmas was the
Escort.
Breen frigate.
Really?
So there'd be some sort of other Breen device ship or something in between. That'd probably be released this year for this coming winter event.
If you still have that in your reputation queue, does it disappear when the new holiday thing comes, or does it stay there and you can fill it?
Like, it stays there and you can fill it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Also, another thing, too, they've... The adjustments have flown through to the winter event of what happened in the summer event, where you only can work on one character to get the 1,000 tokens or whatever, or the pearls, I think they were, on the summer event, the key portraits, wallet-sized portraits you get on the winter event, where if you get one character, you go get the 1,000 of those particular items to get the ship. You only need to get 10 or 20 or something like that, or I think it was 40.
Yeah, basically you just need to run the rest of your characters once on your other characters on the account.
Yeah.
Which is good, because it means that I might actually go and run the event on a lot more characters this year. I might even do them all.
Interesting.
I might do all 22.
That's crazy.
So yeah. So past winter events, ships are probably available. So if you've got characters there that haven't got them yet, now's the, you know, you already have characters that have got them. You can only just need to do it once a day, and you've got the, ships. So
it'll be interesting to see if you can get them. They allowed you to get the previous ship because last year, because at that time they hadn't added the event reputation system, They allowed it to be added in then because you couldn't have just slotted it last time. Now, whether they carry that on, it'll be interesting to see. It'd be nice if they did, because it means people who are joining the games still have a chance to get it. Although I suppose it does also mean that it's still something people can get, and that if you're not been playing for a long time, it's not something that's only a one-time thing, or as limited a thing, I suppose. To me, I don't mind which way they go, but I can see there's always going to be somebody who gets annoyed if whether they actually have the actual starships in again. Somebody will say, oh, I worked hard, we were told it'd only be there the once, and they do it the other way, someone else.
Sure.
They can never win, no matter what they do. Someone's always going to start bitching.
So. Yeah. Well, actually, I was just wondering, since we saw a second animal that you, that feathered monkeys at Riser for the summer event, I wonder if it's going to be like a second pet that we can breed coming up on the winter event.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping for some sort of vehicle course that we can do as well. For the summer event, we've had jetpacks for flying, we've had the surfboards for the water, so I think it's about time we had something where we drove.
Oh no, not that stupid thing from Nemesis. What's it called? The Argos?
Oh, the little dune buggy thing?
Oh yeah. God,
that'd be cool.
They need to put that in the game.
Never.
It's canon. It's canon. It needs to go in the game.
Me. It was terrible.
It was great.
They should put that in game. That'd be fun.
Yeah. I want that as the next course. Whether it's the winter event or summer event, yeah. You've got to have a ground vehicle. That'd just be so much fun. Sort of, even if you could make it there, it's like a destruction derby sort of thing where you could actually ram people off the course and have some real fun with them. that'd be so much fun. But wherever they do with the races, I hope that they can try and improve the tech where it actually detects who actually crosses the line first, not this thing where you've got to click that annoying flag, which, especially with someone like me who doesn't have a mouse and is trying to use a mouse pad, that trying to actually go and get yourself in the right place to actually click F is just almost impossible. So yeah, it'd just be good if they can actually build something that actually detects it properly. Is they did do some sort of tech that was similar in the little race course that you get in the there's the little patrol mission there where you do the race. So yeah, hopefully they can add something like that in. That I would really like. But I found that racetrack really hard, actually.
What, the one with the shuttle?
Yeah.
You know what? I didn't even do any of my boost. I just did it on normal speed and completed it.
Well, the problem with me is actually getting to view what where it is that I'm going. Because as I said, without a mouse, where I can just easily view it, so much harder to control that I took so long to actually complete that damn thing. Just like, yeah,
that's funny.
Practice on that. Times like that, it's just like, yep, I wish I had room for a proper computer and a mouse. I want to practice that again. But yeah, it'd be good if they could introduce that same sort of technology where it detects that you've actually got to a particular place and actually introduce that as part of the races where it'll actually detect who was first, second, third, and so on.
Right.
But yeah, it'd be nice to have all that there, but I guess we'll just have to find out. But yeah, that's what I was actually quite impressed that we got that bonus episode, because I knew there'd be some more content from things that had been said, but I wasn't expecting it until after the winter event. So the fact that they've actually got that out already, I was really chuffed with. I thought, as I said, that would actually come a lot later.
Yeah, well, I will be looking forward to doing that this weekend, maybe.
Yeah, you'll have to. It's really good. Well, I thought so anyway. okay. Foundry Spotlight. Woody, you've got an episode that you've reviewed.
Mm-hmm. The mission is called Blood, Liege, and Honor, Episode 1 by a Lag Omorthic. I believe is how you've pronounced that author's name. It's a Klingon mission, not a Fed mission. But, the basic storyline is you respond to distress signal in some ways, or a patrol along that sort of nature, and find that a ship has been salvaged by a bunch of Ferengi. And of course, you know, the Klingon Empire frowns on that sort of thing, of course. And so you had to respond to it, and of course they've taken some salvage away, so you have to go investigate and try and find that salvage and get it back. So that's pretty much the basic storyline, basic outline of the story. It's very well put together mission. One of the reviewers is Captain Smirk, so it's obviously must have been put up for Spotlight or something like that, if I believe it's Smirk have played it. But yeah, it's a very well put together mission. It's got pretty colourful characters in it, and you know, of course there's, you know, some space and ground battle scenes in it as well. So you know, it's, yeah, put in simple words, it is very well put together mission. I gave it 4 stars. When the good ones that come out of the Klingons, for the Klingons to play. So yeah, it's called Blood, Bij and Honor, Episode 1 by Lago Morthic, I believe it's pronounced. So yeah, certainly give it a try.
Right, I think that's it for this week. So we will catch you all next weekend. So until then, goodbye everyone.
Later. Take care.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Tune in to our live show every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Be sure to check Holosuite Media, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at TribblesInXTC, or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to TribblesInXTC@gmail.com. Join us next week for another episode of Tribbles in Ecstasy, the only place where Tribbles and Klingons are friends.